All right, thank you.
2 weeks for fall break. Man, I never got 2 weeks for fall break before. This is the first time I've ever had 2 weeks for fall break. I'm pretty excited.
I'm excited too.
Especially down with my grandkids. Yeah. Well, I just want to say, first of all, good afternoon. And it's good to see you all. And it's really, really good to be a part here of Cross Creek Christian School. I didn't even know this place existed until a few months ago. I'd like to take the time to tell you the story, but I won't right now. But God just kind of put me here. And I'm excited about it. It's a great privilege. It's a great blessing. I have to tell you, though, I'm still not quite past the overwhelmed stage yet. I'm still working on not being overwhelmed because I'm teaching a bunch of classes I've never taught before. And I'm teaching with a new schedule that I've never had to deal with before. And so some of you are being very patient with me. Some of you are my students, and I appreciate that. But it's good. And, of course, I'm old. You know, some of you are thinking, what has this old guy got to say to us? I'm old. My brain is kind of brittle, you know, and when I try to adjust to new things, it's not as easy. But the Lord is good, and he's doing something here, and I can see it, and I appreciate it, and it's beginning to make a little bit more sense to me as time goes on. I want to tell you, from what my perspective is now, and I just know several of you, you know, in my classes, we got some awesome kids here, some awesome students. There's a great spirit of love here. Great spirit of kindness and sensitivity, and I can sense it, and I love it. So don't you lose that. Now you keep doing what you're doing, and show that love, and show that grace. And you got some really committed staff here, some teachers and staff members who really, really love you guys, and they're sacrificing, and they're doing everything they can to make things such that you can succeed in life, so that you can get ahead and get started and do what God's put you here to do. They're really committed to that, and so am I. And I know you appreciate them. It's a good idea every now and then just to say thank you to one of those teachers. I've got students who come to see me after class every day, and they'll say, thank you, Mr. Hall. And I'm like, whoa, you're welcome. I love it. I love it. I love that kind of attitude of gratitude. So you've made me feel very welcome. I'm very thankful. I'm glad to be here. I hope you feel the same way. I hope you feel the same way. I want to talk to us just for a few minutes this afternoon about a subject that most of us, including me, by the way, will find just a little bit painful, maybe. So bear with me. This is very important. Hear me very clearly what I'm about to say next. I'm not saying this to put a guilt trip on anybody. I mean, I'm really not. That's not the point. Because we're all struggling with what I'm talking about here today. So if you begin to feel a little guilty, that's not my goal here. I just wanted to get this out in front of us and think about what God says about all this. The truth is, to one degree or another, every one of us in this room, including me, is in the same boat. Okay? I'm talking about a compound word, and it's self-discipline. Self-discipline. I'm going to talk about that just for a few minutes today. Self-discipline. What do you think of when you hear that word, self-discipline? Can somebody say something back to me? What do you think about when you hear the word self-discipline? I'm sorry? You need to discipline yourself. Yeah, that's good. That's good, Emma. What else comes to mind when you hear the word self-discipline? Motivation, good word, thank you. That's good. Anything else come to mind when you hear the word self-discipline?
Self-control,
good synonym. Yeah, self-control. Anything else come to mind? Those are all good.
Keeping yourself accountable.
That is a really good word. You hear that? Keeping yourself accountable. Making yourself be accountable to yourself and to God and to others. Yeah, being accountable, good word. You know where the word comes from? It comes from the word disciple. You know where you see the word disciple quite a bit? In the Bible, yeah, in the New Testament. The early Christians were called disciples, right? There's a reason why we're called disciples. There's a reason. I read a story one time about a man who was in Washington, D.C. for a conference. And while he was there, it was a lunch break, and he knew he didn't have much time, so he ran down, got a quick meal, and there was a little room there where they could eat and some tables, and he sat down at the very last table. The other tables were all full. So he grabbed the last table. And right after he sat down, he saw an older man come up looking for a table. An older man had his assistant with him and couldn't find a place to sit. And so the guy felt sorry for him and said, come over here. And he let him sit down at his table with him. And when he began to talk to the old man, he found out the old man happened to be a man who had written several books on success. How to get rich, that kind of thing, success in life. And so it turned out that the guy who had invited the man to come over, the man's name was Kottmeyer, by the way, Mr. Kottmeyer, he said, I thought, this is fantastic because I've read all your books. And he was all excited about meeting this author. Kottmeyer had written four books. Each of them had 250 principles for success. So altogether, he'd written what he thought were 1,000 principles for success in life. So this guy asked him a question. He said, I'm just kind of curious. Would you be willing to give me what you think is the number one principle for success in life, just from your perspective after writing all these books, listing 1,000 of them? And he said, Kottmeyer didn't hesitate at all. He said, Mr. Kottmeyer said immediately, he said, here it is. Do what you should do when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Isn't that good? Do what you should do when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. And when I read that, I thought, that's a pretty good definition for self-discipline, isn't it? Do what you should do when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. The Bible says that we're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit, right? There's a command in Ephesians, right? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? You with me? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible also tells us what the Holy Spirit will do when He fills us. He says He'll produce some evidence that you've got the Holy Spirit in you. He'll produce some fruit. That's in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit. Do any of you know any of that list? There's a list of about 9 things, I think, there. The fruit of the Spirit is, do you know any of them? Love, yes. Awesome. Good. Yes. He knows it, yes. So I'll say it a little more slowly, a little more loudly, but he got them all. Love is the first thing on the list. We love to talk about love, don't we? We love people to love us. It's good for us to learn how to love other people. Yes, love. Joy is the second one on the list. I hope you're full of joy. He says, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. We got a lot to be joyful about. In fact, he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We want to be full of joy. The Holy Spirit produces that in us, right? Love, joy, peace. Wow, do we need peace or not? I mean, personal peace, yes. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you tend to worry a little bit and just stress out and you get all anxious and maybe fearful and things don't seem to be working right? We get kind of stressed and fearful and anxious. Yeah, God says, hey, why don't you take my peace? Jesus says, peace I give unto you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then another place he says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So he's, and there are many, many promises in the Bible about God's peace. He wants us to have it. The Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience. And that makes us squirm a little bit. Patience, yeah, patience. We need to develop patience. God will see to it that you do. He'll give you opportunities to develop plenty of patience. And endurance is part of that too. Patience, endurance, love, joy, peace, patience. And then there's some others. Gentleness. Look, we love to be gentle. We want people to be gentle toward us. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You know what's last on the list? Self-control. The Greek word is enkratia. It means self-discipline. Self-discipline. The Holy Spirit produces self-discipline in us. That's for all of us. And I'm telling you, we all need to be developing this. We all need to be growing more and more like Jesus. And when we do, we become more and more self-disciplined. It's part of growing up, guys. When you're a little bitty kid, you don't have any self-discipline. There's none. Little kids just scream when they're hungry. They scream when they need to be changed. They don't have any self-discipline. But as we grow, we develop it. And that's what we need to be doing. All of us need to be doing as we get more and more like Jesus. But the problem is we live in an age and we live in a time when it's very, very easy not to be self-disciplined. Very easy. Our flesh doesn't like it, guys. You know that. If you know what self-discipline is all about, our flesh doesn't like it. Our flesh wants to take the easy way out every time. The devil doesn't like it. He doesn't want us to be self-disciplined because if we develop self-discipline, he won't be able to get away with as much in our lives. He'll lose a lot of his ability to mess with us when we get self-disciplined. And the world will offer us all kinds of ways to avoid it. Got those cell phones, right? I mean, I need to be self-disciplined, but you don't have to be self-disciplined. You got a cell phone. You don't have to be self-disciplined. Why don't you watch some YouTube videos? That'd be a lot more fun than being self-disciplined. You don't have to be self-disciplined. Look at all these channels you got on the TV. Check some of them out. You don't have to be self-disciplined. The world just offers all kinds of ways to avoid self-discipline. Chill out. Relax. Don't exert yourself too much. That's what the world's saying. Satan's saying. Our flesh is saying it. But self-discipline involves something the Bible calls spiritual warfare. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you can stand against what? Against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. God says you got to have the armor on. Because he said, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. It's not other folks that are our problem. But we're wrestling against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Yeah, spiritual enemies. God says, you've got to be involved in this war. Guys, being involved in warfare means discipline. It does. You can't do it without discipline. We've got to stay in that battle. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what Satan's saying, regardless of what our flesh is trying to tell us to do, we got to stay in that battle. We don't give in to this self-indulgent laziness. Now, there's several areas where we need to develop discipline, and I'm not going to try to name all of them. But for one thing, our bodies need sleep. Some of you are having trouble in school because you're not getting enough sleep. We need sleep. And there's a temptation for some of us. It takes self-discipline for some of us to either turn off the TV or put away the cell phone, put it in another room somewhere, and go to sleep so that we get plenty of sleep. And I'm telling you guys, now listen, I'm not trying to step on your toes here, but listen to me. We need to get to sleep early enough that we can get up early enough that we're not starting our day all frantic. We need to go to sleep early enough, and the Lord convicted my wife and I about this many, many years ago, that we have to go to bed early so that we can get up early, get on the treadmill, and spend some time in the Word together, in the Bible together. We've got to have that. That takes some discipline. The discipline starts, though, with getting to bed early. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, oh, Mr. Hall, yeah, you're old. You don't have anything else to do but go to bed. Well, be careful. Old folks have temptations, too. Yeah, we wear the flesh, too. It's not easy, but it takes discipline. But we all need this, guys. We all need it. You need it. I need it. We all need it. Another thing we need is some strenuous exercise. I don't know how many are getting really strenuous exercise, but we need to get on the treadmill. We need to get that heart beating. Get on the treadmill. Get out there and jog. And put down the cell phone. Turn off the TV. And maybe play a fast game of one-on-one basketball. Something to get that heart beating regularly. Not just once a week even. Several times a week. We need to keep exercising. That'll help the brain work better. It'll get more blood to your brain, more oxygen to your brain. It'll help you as a student if you'll get some exercise. Our minds need exercise too, by the way. Right? And you know, one of the things, in fact, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, gird up the loins of your mind. Do you know what that meant? Gird up the loins. You know what that meant? Those men in those days, they wore robes. You remember, you've seen pictures of people in Bible days wearing robes, right? They would have a belt around the middle here, and they would bring up those robes and tuck them in a little bit so they could run or so they could work and do vigorous work. And he says, do that with your brain. Get ready for action. Some translations translated that way. Get your brain ready for action. One way to do that is to memorize stuff. Memorizing stuff will get your brain more exercised. Now, what on earth could we memorize? I wonder. What could we memorize? Oh, how about Scripture? Yeah, how about Scripture? We started a Bible memory club. I want to urge you guys, memorize Scripture. I'm going to be pushing you as hard as I can to memorize Scripture. You can quote them to me anytime. Most days, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm going to be here for a few hours after school's out. Come by my room and quote me some verses. Count the words. Tell me what verse you're quoting. Count the words. Don't make me count them. We're going to give you points, and I'll give you a certificate at the end of the year on how many words you've quoted from the Scripture. How many verses, but not just verses, but words. Because some verses, like Jesus wept, yeah, that's a verse, but yeah. But it's good to learn some longer verses, yeah. But you can start with the short ones. I don't have a problem. Just come by and quote them to me. I'll give a certificate. Take me seriously, guys. It's easy to be undisciplined. It's easy. But if you give into it, I'm telling you, it will ruin your life. It will. You can float through life undisciplined. And I know it's easy to say, man, memorizing this multiplication table, it's hard. I don't want to do it. Well, that's the way we are. We don't want to do it. It's easy for us, and I'm guilty here, eating what I shouldn't eat when I shouldn't be eating. Oh, to be disciplined, to eat the way I should. Yeah, some of you, we're guilty, aren't we? Oh, man, it's tough. It's tough. We're all struggling with this, guys. It's not just, it's easy to flip on the TV or to get the cell phone instead of doing the memorizing that will help you pass the next test. You know, it's easy. It's easy to take the easy way out. If you were going to list the greatest apostles, and I'm not saying anyone ought to win this race, but who would you say would come to your mind first as one of the greatest apostles? One of the greatest early followers of Jesus. Anybody pop in your mind? I mean, some people might say Peter, and he was great. Some people might say John, he's great. First one that always comes to my mind is, you want to guess? Paul. Paul comes to my mind. Paul said something when he wrote to the Corinthians. This is in 1 Corinthians. And if you remember, if you studied Corinthians, that was a church that needed some help with self-discipline. They had a problem there. And Paul wrote to them, and he said something to them in chapter 9. Listen to what he said. This is Paul. one of the greatest Christians, maybe the greatest Christian who ever lived, greatest follower of Christ, awesome man of God. He said, I discipline my body and keep it under control. Self-discipline, you see. That's what he's talking about. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Guys, I'm assuming that you want your life to count for Jesus. I'm assuming that. I know some of you may not even be believers yet. I hope you will be soon if you're not. But if you're a believer, you want your life to count maximum. I mean, you want to bring the maximum glory to God that you can. That's what a Christian wants to do. If you're serious about your fellowship with Christ, you're serious about following Jesus, you want your life to be maximum. You want the maximum potential to be reached, whatever he's created you to do. If we don't have that as our priority, our priorities are messed up, guys. We need that. We're here to bring him glory. And we can't do that by being lazy. We can't do that by just indulging the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control, discipline. The very last letter that Paul wrote was to Timothy, 2 Timothy. And he said this to Timothy. This is shortly before Paul's head was chopped off at the end of his ministry. He said, God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and there's the word again, self-discipline. Self-control, self-discipline. And I'm telling you, one of the best ways to do that, guys, is memorize Scripture. Because not only will those Scriptures that you memorize get in your heart and make you more like Jesus, they will. They'll make you a stronger Christian. They'll also make you a better student. Because when you start memorizing Scripture, it'll make it easier to memorize the multiplication tables. It'll be easier to multiply the math rules. Memorize the math rules. It'll be easier to multiply. I'm a math guy. To memorize history stuff. Yeah. It'll be easier to memorize grammatical rules. It'll be easier to memorize Spanish words and German words. It'll be easier, whatever you have to learn, as you start exercising your brain to memorize. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you think, Mr. Hall, I don't have a good brain for memorizing. My brain doesn't work very well with memorizing stuff. I've tried it. I guess I just have a weak memory muscle. And I tell you guys, to me, that sounds a little bit like this. I'm no good at push-ups, Mr. Hall. I've tried push-ups. They don't work for me. I guess I just got weak shoulder muscles. And I'm going to say, well, can you do one push-up? No, Mr. Hall, I can't even do one. Can you do a half a push-up? No. Maybe about an inch. Let's start somewhere, right? Yeah, somewhere. And then little by little, you get more and more good at it. Same with memorizing Scriptures. There are plenty of short verses out there. Come by my room. I'll give you some if you want some verses to start with. And just start somewhere. And little by little, it takes time. But little by little, your memory muscle will get stronger. And you'll be able to memorize more and retain more. It'll make a difference in your life, guys. Several of you are already quoting verses to me. I love it. Several of you are doing this. It thrills my heart. Miss Cochran is blessing my socks off. She's just quoting many, many verses. And I love it. Follow her example. Follow the example. The kids are already quoting verses. Join the club, guys. David wrote this. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That means memorize. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? You remember the rest of it? That I might not sin against you. Yes. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. It'll help you with all kinds of sin problems. But one of the biggest sin problems it'll help us overcome is overcome the sin of mental laziness, right? Because we're having to exert some mental discipline to hide his word in our heart. So I want us to pray that he'll fill us with his spirit. And then he'll produce that evidence of the filling of the Spirit with self-discipline. Listen, guys, I love you guys. Some of you I don't know yet. Those of you who I do know, I'm finding it easy to love you guys. I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't love you. God loves you guys. And he wouldn't put the stuff in his word that I've been sharing with you if he didn't love you. So let's take it for what it is. Not as something to put you on a guilt trip, but something to make you more like Jesus. Something that will please God. Something that he wants to do in your life. And if you'll make up your mind you're going to be serious about this, I realize you can be right now saying, well, I'm going to do it. But you got to be serious. It's long range commitment here. If you'll get serious about that, it will change your life. And you'll look back on this as one of the greatest decisions you ever made. Memorize Scripture. Start using that self-discipline. God will change your life. So, Father, we thank you for this awesome student body, Lord. These kids are awesome, Lord. And I know you have an incredible purpose and plan for each one of them. They, many of them, most of them, don't even have a clue yet what you're going to do with them. But I know it's awesome. And I pray that nothing would mess that up. I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your spirit and produce that fruit of your spirit, including the self-discipline in their lives, so that they can bring a whole lot of glory to you and you can bless them beyond their wildest dreams, Lord. I pray that you'd help all of us to take this seriously, to take you seriously. Lord, you know we all have growing to do. We all are weak. We all have flesh that works against us, and we're all fighting Satan, and we're all resisting the temptations all around us in the world. But Lord, you promised you'd help us overcome these things, and we're asking you to do that now. Help these students, especially the ones who've already been committing themselves to memorize Scripture, give them grace. Help them to stay in that battle, and help others to get it, to join them and start quoting your word and memorizing your word so that you can make them stronger and they can resist Satan in the world and our flesh even better than they have now. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you so much for the school. Thank you for these teachers and staff members who are so committed to helping these wonderful students become more like Jesus. Help us all to keep growing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Praise the Lord.